My name is Hector Bonilla, and I am an alcoholic. It's kind of nice to be the opening act tonight. It's a real pleasure to be able to share a part of my story. We only got 10 minutes. So about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Welcome the newcomers and the people that are barely starting on this journey. Boy, it's a lot of fun, and I'm going to tell you, I've been doing this for a while. It's not easy, but it's a lot of fun. The rewards are immense. One of the parts of the stories I want to tell you about today, or the story, the main part of the story today, growing up as a kid, I had no idea what it was like to be a boy, a man, what it was like to live. And so I tried to take cues, and I found out that there were rules in life. You know, there was ways in how you had to get along with people and get along in school and get along with the other stuff. And I really didn't have much of a role model. I had no idea how to do it. So I used different things as a role model: television, books, teachers. I was raised by a single mom. In between two sisters, an older one and a younger one, and they did the best they could. But in my family, there was not a lot of love, affection, holding, understanding. So it was more or less we had to live on, do the best we could on our own. And as I was growing up, I think the biggest thing that I wanted to do is I just wanted to be happy in life. I wanted to enjoy my life. And growing up, it was kind of tough. In school, I thought that if I went to school and did well, that that would be good enough. The big part of my story and of my life before I got to AA, it's not so much that I felt so much different. It's just that I felt that what I did, who I was, wasn't enough. No matter what I did, it wasn't enough. I mean, I tried, you know, I figured as I was growing up, if I was successful, then that would be good enough. I went out for the football team, got on the football team, became one of the captains, did really well, heard my name on the speakers during the stadium. And, you know, when it was all over and the fans came out, you know, I was alone again. And that was a feeling that I had through everything that I did. I went to college, did well in school, and when all was said and done, I always felt alone. I never felt like I could connect with anyone. And so, you know, I thought, okay, being bright, not so bright because I'm obviously I'm here. I figured if I had put the plan together that then I would be successful, that I would be happy. I was on my quest to Easy Street. Someday it would all work out. And I wouldn't feel this anxiety, this emptiness, I could never really put my finger on it. It kept moving. It was a moving target. And so I did what I thought I had to do. I got the job, I got the career, got the girl, got the house, big 3-bedroom house, got the cars, got money in the bank, and I still felt empty. Something wasn't right. I married a girl that I didn't even love. I was with her for 3 or 4 years, and people were saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to marry her? What are you going to do? I figured, well, I don't even know what love's like. Maybe, you know, when you're together, things will work out, and you'll find that bliss. Well, married her, and about 6 months later, you know, I had to let her know that I didn't love her. Now, this was part of my plan. I said, okay, I'm going to tell her I don't love her when the right one comes along, and then I'll divorce her, and then everything will work out. Well, she had different plans. I mean, I told her, and the very next day she was talking about moving out. I mean, she was ruining my plans. Somewhere along the way, drinking for me was fun. I love drinking. It was never a big problem. Drinking for me was like a social lubricant. I mean, it made everything better. You could go drink with your friends. You could go to parties. You could go out. My illusion was, my picture of success was be the little connoisseur who's, you know, waving the little wine glass around and Noah Borle from Cabernet Sauvignon and all this. That was what I thought. But somewhere along the line, I lost the ability to control my drinking, and I didn't know when I was going to get drunk, pass out, and you know the rest of the story, have the blackouts and all that. Not only that, not only did I lose the ability to control my drinking, I lost my ability to control my life. I had no idea what was going to happen. I thought that if I did the best I could, that things would work out. And what happened is, slowly, with time, everything started to fall apart. Everything. And I thought that if someday, sometime, I'd be able to put it all back together. If only that day would come. Well, the drinking got worse. I eventually found myself in detox. Everything that I had thought, this great guy that I thought I was going to become, was a mess. And I, 3 minutes, I'll get to the happy ending. And I went to my first AA meetings, and I couldn't believe that there were people laughing. Well, I eventually got into AA, and I did what you guys told me to do. I got the book, I got a sponsor, I did superficially the steps, but I never really surrendered. My first sponsor was a real asshole. I tried to talk to him, and I was already used to being berated and insulted before I got there. And he was tough. He didn't even have the capacity or the time to listen. And so I just thought I had to do it on my own, and I thought that was part of the gig. After 6 years of coming to the meetings, I didn't know what else to do. I found another woman, and we hooked up, had a little boy, and the one vow that I always made was that I would be the father that I never had growing up. And because I didn't get close or intimate with anybody in AA, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to answer, how to ask the questions, what to do. And so when I got home, she had made up her mind to leave. And there my little boy, 4-year-old little boy, was waving, thought he was going on vacation. This was about 6 o'clock at night, the night just about like this. And my whole life was leaving. And I didn't know what to do. And as an alcoholic, I don't have control over people, places, things. And I can do no harm. So I didn't know what to do. And so I did the only thing I could do. When they left, I went and I got a 6-pack of beer. Awful beer. I hate beer. But I drank it. And the next day, I knew what I had to do. I mean, once I got better, I went, had to go down to the meeting, and I was going to do what it says at the very beginning of every meeting. It says to be willing to go to any lengths. So what I was going to do this time was I was going to go to any lengths because it was my sobriety. It was my life, and I had to do whatever I had to do. I had to accept the fact that even sponsors are human, and it's unfair for me to expect them to be God. So I went, and when I got ready and knew I had to go face the music, I went to the Alano Club there in Chula Vista. And as I was driving over there, I was thinking, okay, this is what I got to do. But what if it doesn't work out? What if it happens again? Who will take me? I mean, everything that I'd done, my history, my losses. And as I was getting closer to the Alano Club, I came up with another idea. If they don't take me in AA, if you don't take me, I'll become a Raiders fan. They take anybody. What happened was when I got there, there was a guy, and I for the first time in my life, not only was I willing to, I was willing to become vulnerable, and I told him, I need help. And for 3 minutes, 30 minutes, another meeting came up. I finally opened up my heart. And that's when the miracle started happening because I was willing to be vulnerable. I was willing to be hurt. And you cannot receive love if that same heart is shielding out the fear of being hurt. And when I was opened up myself to you, I was given the miracle of sobriety. Sobriety, not being sober, but a way of life where there's hope and a life of promise. And I thank you for keeping me and leading me from that treacherous, lonely life that I had before. Thanks.